If advanced care planning is overwhelming to you, you are not alone. In honor of National Healthcare Decisions Day, we're going to learn more about it with Dr. Jim Hornstein. Welcome to Wise and Well, presented by Community Memorial Healthcare. I'm your host, Maggie McKay. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Hornstein.
Thank you so much for having me.
Just to start with, could you explain what an advance directive for healthcare entails?
Absolutely. Essentially, advance directives are the official paperwork that allows each one of us to make plans for a time when we may not be able to think about or communicate our own healthcare choices clearly. Now, in California, there are actually two parts to an advance directive. The first part is where you get to name a healthcare agent, which we also call a durable power of attorney for healthcare, or also a surrogate decision maker. Now, this agent or power of attorney is a really important person in your life because it is their responsibility to communicate and advocate for your wishes if you're unable to do so yourself. Now, in a very real sense, this is the person you literally trust with your life, and you alone get to choose who you want to be your healthcare wingman. Now, the second part of the California Advance Directive is the so-called living will part. This is the component where you get to choose for yourself what kinds of medical treatments you would or would not want if you were at the end of your life. This part of the Advance Directive oftentimes confronts us with some really difficult what-if questions. For instance, what if you were hit by a bus and remained in a coma and never woke up? Would you want to continue all advanced life support like ventilators and feeding tubes and code blues? Or would you prefer to transition to care focusing more on your comfort and your calmness and be allowed to pass away naturally? Although these are difficult things to think about, as you mentioned, many people have already developed strong feelings about the kinds of personal care they would like to receive. And an advance directive lets all of us make these very personal and private decisions for ourselves, which when you actually think about it, isn't it the way it ought to be? After all, as Americans, all of us value our individual liberty and our individual freedoms. So who better to make the tough decisions about ourselves but ourselves? That's why I'm a very big fan of anyone over the age of 18 exercising their right to make decisions about our own healthcare choices by ourselves.
Just very quickly, why is California different?
It turns out every 50 states gets to pick their own advance directive. Now, some states have just a durable power of attorney. Some states have just a living will. Some states have other things that they add, such as organ donations or picking a private doctor or actually separate things out. So it actually turns out it depends where you're at as to what it, there are 50 different states that have 50 different advance directives.
Wow. So if you move, do you have to change it every time you move a state?
So that's a great question. Actually, no. It turns out the Supreme Court in 1990 said that advance directives at any state would be considered clear and convincing evidence in any other state. However, if I was just visiting New York, let's say, who has a different advance directive than we do, well, traveling there, everybody would accept mine. But if I was actually moving there for the rest of my life, yeah, I probably should use their form.
Mm-hmm. I have to say what you were talking about, we all enjoy our freedom to choose. When my husband and I did it, we are on totally opposite sides of the question, do you want to be kept alive or not? I mean, I'm like, yes, forever. And he's like, no, the second I get sick, just pull the plug. Also with, you know, do you want to be buried or cremated? There's so much to think about. So why is it considered so crucial to have an advance directive for healthcare? Because I have a lot of friends who don't. And I said, you really need to get on that.
Those are really, really good questions. And it deserves a really good answer. And the answer is, I mean, look, just like politics today, there is virtually no one correct way or one way that you would say, oh, all Americans believe this or all Americans believe that. To be honest with you, I think there's very little consensus in what all of us agree to, whether it's in politics or in our own healthcare decision-making, which is to say, since we don't all agree, everybody should have the right to pick whatever their own views are of a good life. For instance, I would never criticize you to say like, oh, well, you've made the wrong decision because it's different than mine. The fact of the matter is, that's what the law gives us, and that's what good ethics gives us, which means every individual person has the right to say, yes, my life, even if I never wake up from a coma, has value in my way of thinking about it, in my religious views and my spiritual views and whatever views I have, which allows me to say, sure, keep me alive forever. Whereas other people would be horrified by that idea that says, look, if I cannot communicate with somebody else, if I can't enjoy a sunrise, if I can't get out and take care of myself, well, then that's not really my life. That's just a bunch of organs that are just being kept alive without really myself being a part of it. So again, there is no national consensus. And the fact that you and your husband disagree, well, I mean,
that's why you have one.
Yeah, that's the point, is that we really don't know what somebody else wants. And they may, in fact, be, I mean, I don't know, you may vote for Biden and he may vote for Trump. It's just the fact of the matter is there is no national consensus about what the right thing to do is. So the right thing to do in this case is to allow individuals to make their own personal decisions.
Right.
That's what I'm a big fan of.
Yeah. That's why it's crucial to have one.
Yes.
Dr. Hornstein, why is it considered so crucial to have an advance directive for healthcare?
First, let me share that study after study has shown that as much as we think our loved ones know exactly what we want, they actually don't. Now, whether it's because of the emotions of being in a medical crisis or people's memories getting jumbled or actually family members arguing about what you really would have wanted, if you don't clearly state without ambiguity through a documented advance directive, then it is very common and in fact very sad to watch family and loved ones arguing and feuding at your bedside about what you really wanted. The other reason advance directives are crucial is purely practical. As I mentioned, in California, we do not have an automatic decision tree or hierarchy if you do not tell us who makes decisions on your behalf. Now, in other words, just because you're married, your spouse does not automatically become your decision maker. And in fact, you can choose virtually anyone you want to be your official healthcare spokesman. It could be your spouse, or it could be your parents or your siblings or your adult children or your best friend or your gardener. Frankly, the bottom line is this: you get to choose who you think would make the best response to your wishes and your goals and your choices should the need arise. In addition, it's a very good idea for you not only to name one person as your decision maker, but also to name a first and second alternate if for some reason your agent can't or won't be able to speak for you. And then finally, a third reason it's crucial to fill out an advance directive is also practical. And this has to do with the fact that studies have shown that about 1 in 3 of us, in other words, 1 in 3 of all Americans at some times in their lives cannot speak for themselves. Now, this could be because of a lot of things, such as a car accident or a head injury or a stroke or a medication side effect or whatever. The point is, until you wake up and can again speak for yourself, somebody else needs to speak on your behalf and have all the legal muscle to be a strong advocate for all of your healthcare decisions.
Who should individuals consider giving their advance directives to? Lawyers, doctors, family?
Now, that's again a really great question. A big mistake I've seen in the hospital is a person goes to the trouble of filling out an advance directive and then puts it in their safety deposit box. That's a big mistake. Instead, make as many copies as you'd like and give one to everyone who might be involved in your future healthcare needs. Certainly give copies to your agent and also your two alternatives. anybody else in your immediate family, including close friends. Of course, give one to your primary care doctor and any specialists, your local hospital, if you're living in a nursing home or a nursing care facility, and of course, your personal attorney.
So why is it advisable to encourage our parents and those that we care for to complete advance directives and review the documents with them?
Well, that's because Americans, by and large, really don't like to talk about getting older or talk about illnesses, and especially we don't like to talk about death. In fact, many of us actually believe that if we don't talk about something, then it won't happen. Unfortunately, this is never the case. What's more, many studies have shown that older people actually want to talk about getting older and their thoughts and hopes and fears about the end of life. But somehow we just never seem to get around to having these important conversations. And that's why I think having these conversations with your families is so important. It seems to me the time to do that is actually now. Ask your parents or your grandparents, what are their most important goals if their health situation changes? What are their biggest fears and what are their worries about their future? But also remind them we're all in this together.
So you mentioned changes, and it's going to happen to everybody probably. In the case of a change in medical condition, like a diagnosis of cancer or a COPD, for example, would the expressed wishes in an advance directive typically undergo alteration? Or if so, how might they change?
Again, this is a great question, and absolutely they can change. It is extremely wise to review and update your advance directive after any major health change or illness in your life. In fact, it's not even a bad idea to review your advance directive routinely every 10 years. Why? Well, because as our health and life situation changes, it's very likely that our goals and our healthcare choices might also change. Now, to actually make any changes when you decide to make them, all you really need to do is draw a big thick line through your old advance directive, write void, and then fill out and complete a new one. Just don't forget to give a new copy of this new advance directive to everyone.
But don't you have to get it notarized or by a lawyer? Because couldn't anybody do that and on your behalf and nobody would know who did it?
Yeah, in California, and this also changes over all 50 states, in order for you to fill out an advance directive, there are two ways to make it official. Either number one, have it notarized by a notary public, or by number two, have two individuals sign it. And they do not have to be who the individuals are named. They could be anybody. They could be your neighbors. They could be your friends. They could be virtually anybody you want to sign it who simply documents that you are who you are. You okay. Do not need to go see a lawyer.
And you were talking about changing them every so often, maybe every 10 years. Is it possible to amend or revise those advance directives over time? And how often? I think you said at least every 10 years. Should people review and update these documents?
Absolutely. I think it's 100% possible to change or amend your advance directives whenever you want. Now, aside from the changes we mentioned in your overall health or us just getting older, it's also very possible that the people you've named to be your surrogates may also have experienced changes. Those changes could be things like divorce or your family moves or even illness or death of your surrogates, which may force you to make changes to your advance directive. But even though all of our lives, in fact, always change, it's still very important to put a lot of thought into what your choices would be as to who you would name in your new and revised advance directive. Because remember, at whatever age you are, your surrogate decision maker should be someone you trust wholeheartedly to understand and carry out your wishes and your values.
And should we be carrying a card in our wallets, Dr. Hornstein, that indicates that we have an advance directive in place?
Absolutely. Once your advance directive is properly completed, it is crucial that these invaluable documents are available when they're actually needed. Now, here at Community Memorial Healthcare in Ventura, on the back of the advance directives that we use at our hospital, there are printed wallet cards, which all of us can carry. On those cards, it says that you, as the patient, has created an advance directive and says it should contact the person that you've chosen, usually your surrogate decision maker or power of attorney, and it has their phone number. Also, on the back of these cards, I strongly advise that you put your primary care physician and their office phone number and their email address.
Is there a card that you can get somewhere, like online, that you're talking about, or you just make up your own?
Well, that's another good question. There are lots of places where you can get an advance directive form. First, you can actually visit Community Memorial Healthcare's website at mycmh.org, spelled mycmh.org, and search advanced care planning for a free copy of the form. Also on their website, there is an easy-to-follow video link with instructions as to how to fill out the entire advance directive. But beyond that, you could also get a free paper copy of an advance directive by simply visiting the front desk at either Community Memorial Hospital or Ojai Community Hospital. Also, copies are available at almost all primary care doctor's offices, the Centers for Family Health, in addition to simply Googling a California Advanced Healthcare Directive. But of course, you can also fill out an advance directive with your private attorney, but in this case, it will most likely cost you hundreds of dollars.
Mm-hmm. And so that card that you were talking about that should be in our wallet, is that also on that website?
It is.
Okay, yes. Great. All right, everything you need would be there. The advance care planning, the form, a video showing you how to do it, the card, everything.
Absolutely everything. You can go on there, click it, and then spend some time, and it will actually help you go through item by item everything that you need to fill out. Again, it's free, it's available, it's easy to follow, and then you can pass one out to, you know, your family, your friends, your attorney, your doctors, your hospital, everyone.
That's so informative because I always thought you had to have a lawyer do it or at least a notary person. So that's really good to know. Thank you so much for talking with us and sharing your expertise about this crucial process and making it more understandable and achievable.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Again, that's Dr. James Hornstein. If you'd like to find out more, you can go to mycmh.org and go to Advanced Care Planning. And if you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social channels and check out our entire podcast library for topics of interest to you. I'm Maggie McKay. Thanks for listening to Wise and Well, presented by Community Memorial Healthcare, a podcast from Community Memorial Healthcare.